From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, how Wendy Davis, the Democrat running for governor, wants to change the rules about prosecuting rape. First, we'll take a look at poverty and hunger in an economic boomtown. Dallas City Council members got a crash course today on A Tale of Two Cities. The mayor's task force on poverty delivered a report that shows a startling growth in the number of Dallas residents living in poverty. Larry James, head of the social service agency City Square, chaired that task force.
It's not acceptable for a city as full of wealth and opportunity as Dallas to be ranked third or fourth poorest urban center in the United States behind Detroit, Memphis, and Philadelphia.
According to the report, Dallas has the highest child poverty rate of any big city. Two of every five kids grow up poor. And it has the fastest growing poverty rate among big U.S. cities. Since 2000, the population has grown 5%. The poor population grew 41%. James ticked off the task force's recommendations.
Work on establishing a fair minimum wage. Champion early childhood with the DISD. We need to create a permanent office of community opportunity inside City Hall.
Mayor Mike Rawlings says he's concerned another layer of bureaucracy at City Hall could stifle prompt effective action. He does like the idea of a minimum wage boost. Councilmember Jennifer Gates was more cautious, calling for more study on the impact a higher minimum wage would have on the budget and on contractors working for the city. Task Force co-chair Regina Montoya told the mayor and council members the problem can no longer be ignored.
The poverty statistics are staggering, and that's why we are here today, because it is an epidemic. It's something that we need to think about right now, because we don't want to be at that tipping point where we can't do something about it.
The mayor asked the task force and city manager A.C. Gonzalez to keep looking for best practices and partnerships to wage a war on poverty. There's another war being fought here, the battle against hunger. The North Texas Food Bank says the region is 91 million meals short. That's how many breakfasts, lunches, and dinners it would take to feed everyone who's hungry. The food bank filled about two-thirds of that void last year, and as Courtney Collins reports, clients today don't fill the traditional stereotype.
Volunteers with a program called Feed Lake Highlands are preparing for the rush. They expect 37 families to show up today to pick up their food for the month. They set up tables and refold paper sacks, stack canned veggies, and count boxes of cereal.
26. Yeah.
By the end of pantry hours, 93 people will have walked off with frozen chicken, dried cranberries, baking potatoes, and bags chock full of non-perishables. One of those people is Ray Gonzalez. He came straight from work, still in his mechanic shirt. He owns a diesel engine repair business that just moved to Irving.
So between the transition of moving and chasing all my customers down and stuff, it's kind of a little difficult.
Gonzalez is married with two kids. His wife works too. Their two incomes still leave them short when it comes to paying the bills and putting food on the table.
The pay scale is not going up the way it should compared to what's being charged to the family, to the average family, you know, as far as rent, fuel, food. Gallon of milk's doubled in the past 5 years, probably. My salary hasn't doubled.
Gonzalez is part of the food pantry majority. According to the new Hunger in America report, almost 60% of North Texas Food Bank clients had a job in the last year.
The stereotypes that so many people have about who's hungry in America or who's hungry in North Texas are just wrong.
Jan Pruitt is president and CEO of the North Texas Food Bank. She says there are all kinds of unexpected truths buried inside the once every 4 year national report. For example, 95% of clients have permanent housing. Perhaps even more startling, North Texans made an average of 8 trips to the pantry last year. 20 years ago, the typical client came twice.
So what that tells me is there's been a shift from this being emergency assistance to being chronic hunger relief.
Which means the North Texas Food Bank has tall orders to fill. So what's the answer?
The only answer is jobs, good jobs, full-time jobs that pay a living wage.
Pruitt says that means $15 or $16 an hour. So until that's a widespread reality, the North Texas Food Bank will keep chipping away at hunger, one meal at a time. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Some other tidbits from the report, 3/4 of North Texas food pantry clients have a high school education. There are also major health concerns associated with chronic hunger. 1/3 of the clients are diabetic. 60% have high blood pressure and unpaid medical bills. You can check out the complete Hunger in America report at keranews.org. Now we'll turn to what's in our diet. Followers of the paleo diet believe we should stick to foods that were eaten by our hunter-gatherer ancestors. Protein, good. Carbs, bad. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with a National Geographic writer about who studied the evolution of the human diet. And here's Think producer Stephen Becker.
Ann Gibbons says her beef with the paleo diet begins with the name.
When you actually look at their interpretations of the paleo diet, it seems to me like they're stuck in what we think of as a Neanderthal diet, something that is mainly meat, lots of chewing on bone and bloody meat, no gluten or grains, some plants and fruits and vegetables, but no sugar, no cereals.
Gibbons says she understands the thinking behind the diet, but the logic has a limit.
The idea is really sound. It makes sense. Why wouldn't we avoid the foods that were rough on our health initially, such as grains? The problem is, we aren't the same people. We're not the hunter-gatherers adapting suddenly to agriculture.
And she counts herself among people whose ancestors survived the transition from hunter-gatherers to farmers just fine.
So I'm a Northern European. My ancestors herded cattle, drank milk, ate grain. I would assume by now, after 5,000, 6,000 years, I've adapted to that. I can eat those foods without a lot of problems.
Gibbons writes about the evolution of the human diet in the September issue of National Geographic. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
You can read Ann Gibbons' story and listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. The show re-airs tonight at 9. Wendy Davis brought her campaign for governor to Dallas today, and the Democrat said she wants to eliminate the statute of limitations for prosecuting cases of rape and sexual assault.
I will classify sexual assault at the same level as other heinous crimes, such as murder, manslaughter, and human trafficking, which have no statute of limitations. 8 states are already doing so.
Davis cited cases in which DNA evidence discovered years after the crime identified the suspect, but it was too late to prosecute. In most Texas cases, sexual assault charges must be filed within 10 years of the incident. Davis has been touting legislation she sponsored as a state senator to increase the number of rape kits that are tested. She also criticized her Republican opponent, Attorney General Greg Abbott, for a vote he took while on the Texas Supreme Court. In the case, Abbott opposed a rape victim's request to sue the employer of a door-to-door salesman who raped the woman at her home. Abbott's campaign says he was only following the law. His campaign responded to Davis's announcement today by saying he also supports getting rid of the statute of limitations for prosecuting sexual assaults. Finally today, who says you have to actually win to cash in when it comes to football? Turns out finishing 8-8 the last 3 years made the Dallas Cowboys the NFL's first $3 billion franchise. Forbes magazine did the calculations, and the boys finished atop the NFL heap with a total value of $3.2 billion. That's more than twice the average franchise value and more than 3 times the value of the bottom-dwelling St. Louis Rams. Jerry Jones still has another rung to climb, though. His Cowboys are only the second-ranked franchise in sports. Soccer's Real Madrid ranks number one with a $3.4 billion valuation. Overnight low, 75. Tomorrow, more of the same. Sunny highs in the upper 90s, same thing for Friday. Then Sunday through Tuesday, no mention of rain. High temperatures should break 100. Right now it is 100 in Wichita Falls, 97 in Dallas, 98 in Fort Worth, 94 in Tyler. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.